You are stronger. What you went through, I hate the saying, but it is true. What you went through made you stronger. You didn't deserve to become stronger, but you can get back to a normal life. You can get back to having friends, going out, doing things, but do something. Do not sit at home. It's what I struggle with, and I fight it every single day, but everyone can do it. Just get a house.
Welcome to Your Story Doesn't End Here, the mental health podcast of military and veterans who refuse to be silenced. I'm your host, Rachel, and my mission with this podcast is to be a voice for those who don't have a voice, bring awareness to mental health issues, provide value and solutions, and to change the culture when it comes to mental health within the DoD organizations. Hey everyone, thank you so much for coming back for another episode of Your Story Doesn't End Here. Today I have Rose again. If you remember Rose, her episode was, I don't remember exactly what the episode numbers were, but there were two of them. And her story is truly incredible. With the things that she went through and the resiliency, and there's parts of it that are incredibly sad, but really portray what conditions are like for a lot of people in the military today, especially women serving in the military. And so if you have not listened to that episode or the other episode, because again, there's two parts, I highly recommend you go back, listen to those so you can kind of get a foundation for this. But Rose was kind enough to come back today onto the show to share what life is like now and what that last little bit in the Navy was like in transitioning out. So she is now separated from the Navy, and we're just kind of catching up to see what life has been like. So Rose, thank you so much for being on the show again for the third time. And I'd love to just hear about that last little bit of time that you served in the Navy, what that was like, the process, and then that transition out, and you know what you're doing these days.
Thank you for having me again. I'm really excited to talk and I guess catch up. So my last little bit in the Navy was very fast. I'm pretty sure they just wanted to get me out, to be honest, with everything that happened. But I also really appreciate them trying to get me out as fast as they could after everything, once I finally got good leadership. But it's been a whole year now, and I can't believe I hit a whole year. I hit like a memory thing on Facebook of like me saying, it's my last day in Washington. And I was like, whoa. Been that long now. I think the transition was only hard when I finally got to my destination. And I was just like, what do I do now? Because you had this kind of life planned out. I wanted to do 20 years. I got like almost halfway through. And then everything kind of went chaotic, crazy, and it didn't work out that way. So it was definitely challenging to be like, what do I do now? What's my purpose? I'm now in my mid-20s. Most people that I'm living around now, they're out of college. They are starting their career versus my career just ended. So what do I do? And I did go into like this kind of depression cycle. And I did reach out to the VA, which the VA where I'm at is incredible, especially if you have 100% disability. They will get you in as quickly as possible. The online stuff of trying to make appointments has been super easy, and also getting medication has been very, very easy. But it definitely was challenging, and I am very appreciative that I did go see the VA as soon as I got here, and I set everything up because they started me on doing kind of another like PTSD program, and it was another like outpatient program. Sadly, though, it started after I had gone a little bit crazy. I went through a depression cycle, and I did go back to the hospital for it was like only for a few days. But it definitely was needed. I was just really, really struggling with trying to find this purpose again. And definitely going back and talking with people, and especially veterans that were there, and understanding like where you're at really, really helped. And then I did an outpatient program for about like 90 days. We kind of extended a lot just because of my own issues. And that definitely helped. It put everything that I learned at those other psychiatric wards back into use, just in a different environment, and trying to figure out like, how do I use this now in my new life? So it was very helpful.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that you shared that, the challenges that you faced outside of the military, because I think a lot, if not majority, of vets can relate. I know I can relate to that, like, lack of purpose feeling. And I don't think I wanted to call it a lack of purpose for a long time, because I felt like I was strong enough to be able to handle just being a civilian. Because I think there's like this, I don't know if stigma is the right word, but it seems like it, to me, it felt like the only people that should struggle with the transition are like combat vets, right? Because it's like, I truly felt like the Navy was just a 9-to-5 job, but it really isn't. Like, there's so much more to it than that, that I didn't quite process at the time. So do you feel like this is still a journey for you, or do you feel like you're in a much better place now?
I still feel like it's a journey. I feel like I'm never going to be off this journey. I had an issue even last night. I went out with some friends to a bar and I was hanging out, and then these guys kind of just gave me the wrong vibes, and it freaked me out, and it brought me back to bad memories and me thinking the worst ideas and being super protective of myself and my friends. But also, it's not as bad as it used to be. Like, I probably would have already ran out that door and just been like, I'm going home early. But instead, I like took a step back, realized you're safe. This isn't the same environment that you're used to, and it's totally fine. Nothing's going to happen. Just have a good time and don't let yourself get too crazy. I can manage myself a lot better. I can handle my triggers a lot better, but it's still definitely a journey. I still have problems. I still have freakouts. To be honest, sometimes I miss class, because being in a classroom environment with all these strangers does kind of freak me out at times. And I wish I knew exactly how to fix that, but all I know is it has gotten better. Where this semester, I didn't miss all of the classes that I could miss until I would get dropped from the class, but I did miss less. So it's definitely still a journey, and every day is getting better.
So I want to talk a little bit more about this, because I think there's quite a few people out there, and I hope it's not that many, but I've met people myself who think that disability or service connected, if you don't physically look disabled, like aren't missing a leg or something, that it shouldn't be a thing. And obviously you're telling us stories about how what you got separated from the military for, one of the major things, is still affecting you in your day-to-day life. So if you wouldn't mind elaborating on like how else this is affecting you, so that maybe people can understand a little bit more of like, you know, when someone is rated 100%, it's not because they can't physically, you know, walk or stand at a job, or it's not because they have a visible disability, but there are these other things that make it incredibly challenging to live just like a normal day-to-day life, whatever normal even means. But if there's anything else that you could elaborate on that would maybe help people understand a little more, I think that'd be really, really helpful.
Definitely. I have a few examples of that. One that I just mentioned was school. I do struggle with getting up and going to class and trying to tell myself everything's fine, that nothing's going to happen, that you're completely okay to be around all these people. And there's been multiple times where I've driven to class, I've sat in the parking lot and I've had a panic attack and I just drive home. And it's such a struggle because part of my brain knows nothing's going to happen. These people aren't going to do anything. You're in a class setting. Nobody's going to follow you home. You're completely fine. But then this other side of my brain just goes absolutely berserk and is like, you can't trust anyone. Somebody is going to follow you home. Everything's going to happen again. And I just, sadly, sometimes that side of the brain wins and I go home and I freak out. And then I miss class. I miss a lot of things that I really should have been there to listen for. And then I've had times where I've just called out of work because I just can't handle it. I can't handle being all around these people, thinking that, can I really trust them? And that's been something that I've really had to work on, is my trust with people, knowing that they're not going to harm me later on. I think I have a total of 3 people that actually know where I live. And I've been here for a year now. I've made a lot of friends. Only 2 people have actually been into my house, and 1 person hasn't been in, but they know where I live. And that's just because this is my safe space. I don't want to deal with somebody potentially trying to break in again to harm me. There's just been a lot of instances where I've just decided to stay home and just not be social because I've been scared. I have been fighting it. My therapist and I have been working with that. I force myself out once a week just to have more interactions, trying to break that. But it definitely is still hard.
I hear from quite a few PTSD veterans, mainly the females, that this idea of this safe space that has to be created after a military service, and every single one I've had on my show before, and a lot of female vets, especially the PTSD vets, the MST vets, will create their own idea of a safe space, whether that's living in the middle of nowhere, whether that's just having a place that no one else knows where they are. It really does. I mean, PTSD from service really does like change your entire life. And I think it's so important for people to understand that, because it's not like you're getting out, you're just collecting disability and you're out here living your best life, and you're not still struggling with day-to-day things that are unseen to other people. So your work in your school, do you communicate these things with them? Are they aware, or do you just kind of keep it to yourself?
There are 2 teachers out of my 5 classes that I'm taking this semester that do know that I potentially could go to the hospital, say, for psychiatric reasons. And they do know that if I'm missing class, it most likely is because I just couldn't do it. They're very understanding and they have been so nice and very, very appreciative. But it's also, I feel embarrassed. And I know I shouldn't, but it is almost embarrassing of like, I have to tell these people I don't feel comfortable in their class. I have to tell them like, I feel like I'm a baby and I just go sit in my bed and try and calm myself down whenever I do miss class. And it sucks. And then I have to do double the work because now I'm having to try and teach myself what they taught us in class. And sometimes the notes that they post online doesn't have everything that they did teach. So it does suck with that. And then with work, I've been very lucky with my boss. She is amazing. She does know that I've had problems in the military. She doesn't know all the details and is very respectful of my privacy. But she does understand that if I say I cannot come in, she doesn't ask questions and she lets me have my time off. I try my hardest not to do that very often. I think I've done that a total of 3 times since working there this past like 6 months, because I really try to not let that ruin my work ethic. And with how much space and understanding that she gives me, because I did take that entire week off when I went to the hospital, and she had to completely like get extra people to try and work a little bit more. And I'm very appreciative of my coworkers for doing that, but I don't want to take advantage of them. I do feel guilty and I feel so bad, even if they understand.
So have you had any negative experiences with your, the position that you're in as a disabled veteran with a disability that people can't physically see? Has anyone given you any negativity about that?
I think the only negativity was when I was in the hospital, and you get these old vets who don't have 100%, and they always talk about, well, what percent do you have? What do you have that? And I try my hardest not to bring up that conversation, because then usually they end up asking, how did you get that? And I don't really want to just tell strangers that. And that was one of the times that I did have a hard time, because I did just, I'm not a good liar. I don't like lying anyway. So I was truthful with them and I told them I'd had 100%. And then they kind of just all looked at me like, you're young, how do you have that? It's like, well, I'm crazy. Why do you think I'm here? Here with you guys. I see and hear things sometimes.
So was this in the psychiatric ward that these older vets were in there, and they compare because you're all in like a similar environment? And
Yes. And I get uncomfortable when people bring up that, because again, of how I got it. I don't really want to just tell strangers. So I don't understand why they want to compare. Just be happy with what you have.
Right.
And move on.
Right.
Or fight for whatever you do deserve.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's this thing within the veteran community anyway, where like the 100% is like the golden number, right? That some people try to go for. And there is that like demographic of vets that is like they're like, oh, other people deserve it and I don't, and then they start comparing. And yeah, obviously that's like a personal thing within themselves that has nothing to do with you, but you're right. I mean, the things that add up to that rating percentage, they're deeply personal medical things. Like if someone has like, you know, IBS or something, like IBS is one of the things on my rating. Like not everyone wants to talk about that. That's very, very personal. Or, you know, even mental health things that could be very, very triggering. So I don't understand why that's a thing. I get why people talk about it, but I think that, you know, comparing one disability to the other just isn't right. So that's unfortunate.
Exactly. Like my 100% isn't just from the trauma that I experience sexually. There's a lot of other things going on. I potentially can never have kids because of situations that did happen in the military. And that is one of the things that is highly rated. And that's not something I just tell strangers.
Right.
So whenever, it is exactly what you said, it's just all very, very personal. And I look very healthy, but internally, mentally, I'm not. Oh, and also I was going to say, when you brought up that other question of what else in my personal life does my PTSD diagnosis affect when it comes to like coworkers, I don't think my coworkers realize how guilty I feel about this, but we usually have like monthly dinners. Somebody will plan a dinner. We all go to their house and we have a good time. And it was last week, one of my coworkers I know it's a joke, but it does kind of hurt. She's always being like, oh, when is Rose going to invite us all over? Like, she always talks about her decorations in her house. Like, when is she going to invite us all over for our family dinners? And it hurt because I would love for all of them to come over, but I get so freaked out of all of them knowing where I live. I don't feel comfortable. And I don't know how to explain that to them without going into details.
Yeah, and you really shouldn't have to, but I think this is something that a lot of people don't really think about. And, you know, when people do make jokes or when people do make comments like that, you know, and this is a message to anyone listening, like, you know, always think about what someone could potentially be going through. And if they don't want you in their space, it is what it is. I mean, PTSD or not, if you don't want someone at your house or you don't want to have people over at your house, you're not obligated to have anyone at your house. Maybe that's just your sacred space that you like to keep to yourself, and that's okay. And you don't owe anyone an explanation for that. So that's really unfortunate. And I think a lot of people run into that with multiple things in life, like where someone just kind of assumes based off of their own life experiences and they make a joke and, you know, someone else might take it a different way. But I think if we all think more objectively and think of what someone could be going through, and, you know, there's a reason. There's a reason why people want what they want and don't want what they don't want. So it's really sad though, that military service alone can cause so many drastic life changes. Because before you joined, did you have any of these issues that you have now, or did that all come from?
Absolutely not. When I was growing up, all my friends came over to my place. My place was like the designated hangout spot for all of my friends. My mom had like this beautiful backyard where she put this bonfire in and stuff. And all my friends and I would just go back there, have the bonfire going, make s'mores, or just hang out. And now I always joke with people that it's just me and my cats. I'm perfectly content with just me and my cats.
Do you ever miss that person?
Oh, every Friday night. Just because I see people going out and I see people having game nights at their homes, and I would love to do that. And I'm trying my hardest. I'm working with my therapist to try and get that to happen. I've tried planning this game night for months, but every single time I'll sadly come up with an excuse, say I'm sick, say I have homework, and bail on people, which obviously only makes them upset because you don't really have a good explanation, and it sucks.
Yeah, I think that's where like the stigma still lies with mental health, is that, like, you know, on one hand, if we're super honest with people about why we don't want to do certain things, or, you know, why we act a certain way, not everyone's gonna take it in an awkward way, but a lot of people still do. And I think that's where, like, it's really uncomfortable for the people who are suffering or the people who are going through something, is like, you know, weighing those conversations every single day. You know, am I brutally honest and say, oh, I didn't come to work today because I had a panic attack? Or do you just make up an excuse? And I think a lot of us do just go to the excuses, because it's, for me, it makes that conversation a lot easier for me. I avoid the awkwardness. But then on the other hand, like, you know, something needs to change on a societal standpoint where people can be more comfortable to have these conversations. Because I think if, like, you know, we fall and break a leg and we don't show up to work, or we call out for something, or, you know, we decide not to hang out with friends because we broke a physical limb, no one's going to bat an eye about that. They check in, they make sure we're okay, they, you know, bring us what we need. But when we say, oh, I just had a really bad mental health day, then people, you know, not everyone, but I think a lot of people just get really uncomfortable with that. So are you ever honest with, you know, just people that are around it? And I don't mean to ask this in like a rude way, because that sounded kind of rude, but Are you ever just like brutally honest with people and tell them like, hey, I'm having a really bad mental health day, or I went through this? Or do you usually just err to the side of like, I'm just going to make something up?
I've been trying to do that recently. I was making excuses. And again, I hate being a liar. So that would also make my anxiety go absolutely crazy. So I try to be vague, but honest. Recently, I did tell a coworker about everything. First, I sent them actually your podcast. And I was like, hey, I'm going to have you listen to my story. And then if you have questions, me and you can talk. And we talked. And he understood everything. He was like, everything makes so much sense. Everything clicks. And I am so sorry. And that really helped, mostly of the stuff that I did struggle with from before, of feeling like a lot of stuff is my fault or it wasn't that big of a deal, just because those people just kept putting that in my head. But I've been really, really trying just to be honest with just telling, like, I'm just not mentally okay. Sometimes I joke, like, I'll tell my coworkers, like, ah, I'm just crazy. But I don't like that stigma anymore. And me making up excuses is still giving that stigma. So I'm trying my hardest to change it. And to do that, it starts with myself and just being honest and being like, I am not mentally the same as I was. And that is okay. I am a lot better than where I was, but I will never be the same. And that is okay.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's important for people to know that it's okay to make up excuses if that's what helps you in that moment too. You know, like not everyone has to take on the weight of breaking the mental health stigma, because that's a lot to take on. So now, as we are ready, we can start to share more of our story with people. And it sounds like that's what you're doing. So it's been so incredible just following your journey. And I would love to just continue doing this, like, even if it's every year or so, just to hear how your journey progresses. And I think it's very relatable to people who went through stuff in the military, who transitioned out of the military, who, you know, are also dealing with their own demons and their own challenges in their day-to-day life, even just integrating back as a civilian. What advice would you have for someone that is in your position now?
Get a hobby, do something. Do not sit at home. You will not get better. If you're not constantly getting your mind to do something, you're just going to hold yourself back, and you're going to keep letting everybody that hurt you and everything that did hurt you keep hurting you. You are stronger. What you went through, I hate the saying, but it is true. What you went through made you stronger. You didn't deserve to become stronger, but you can get back to a normal life. You can get back to having friends, going out, doing things, but do something. Do not sit at home. It's what I struggle with, and I fight it every single day. But everyone can do it. Just get a house.
That's a great advice. I think so many vets do just sit at home and do nothing because it's the easy way out. and there's no responsibility when you're doing that. But yeah, I get it. And that's phenomenal advice. What is next for you? Do you have any plans for the near future, or are you just kind of living day by day at the moment?
I'm honestly trying to live day by day, because I stress myself out so much before of thinking about the future, thinking what's going to happen. And that did not help. Honestly, I was also thinking about, like, am I going to be this emotionally dependent person for the rest of my life? But actually living in the moment, going outside for walks when it's a beautiful day, doing something just out of the norm, just because you want to that day, instead of having it planned, has been helping me so much to just enjoy my life.
I love it. I love it. And that's great advice for anyone listening to that maybe feels overwhelmed in thinking about the future, because I think a lot of us can end up in that position when we separate out of the military. So take it day by day. Life happens as it happens. That's okay. Rose, it's been so phenomenal having you back on the show again. If you are listening to this episode, you haven't listened to her first two episodes, please go back and listen to those so that you can hear where she started and where she's at now in this episode. And it's been truly incredible. I appreciate you being so open and honest with your journey, because I know it's not easy to talk about. But the transparency and you talking about these things, it really does affect so many people in a positive way. So it's been so great having you on again. And thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. It's been great to talk and catch up.
Thank you for taking the time to listen in today. With your support, we are able to increase awareness of the mental health issues affecting service members and veterans today, with the goal of creating positive change. If you got value from this episode, please take 30 seconds to subscribe and share this episode within your own network. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your mental health matters, and your story doesn't end here.